Today's reading is from John chapter 10, verse 11 to 21, which can be found in page 1076 in the Church Bibles. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it back up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
We're going to take time to look at that passage together. As Rob mentioned, we're taking the opportunity this week to pause from our series in Mark and to think a little bit about this theme of safeguarding, what that looks like for a church and what hope we can find in God's word. Because I imagine for maybe every single person in this room, you'll have had an instant or a moment in your life, however big or however small, where you've experienced a failure of other people. That might just be a small instance where someone you know has let you down or disappointed you, or maybe it could be a bigger thing. For those of you in the world of work, you might feel a failure of other people that you work with. I was reading a report this week that said there's increasing numbers of employees who do not trust their employer, which doesn't feel a great situation to be in. Or maybe you look wider afield at our nation and the nations across the world, and you feel a failure when it comes to our leaders. As many of you will know, this past week has been the COP29 conference, where leaders of countries across the globe come together to think, how are we responding to the climate crisis that we're facing? And in light of that, I was reading a report this week that said that the whole conference and what they're looking to do isn't fit for purpose, which isn't a great hope that we have when we face the challenges in our climate. And sadly, as we've already heard this evening, it's not just something out there, is it? Sadly, this week, we've seen a massive failure in the wider church in this country. In light of the Macon Review and the report into the horrific abuse over many years, it's not just been the horrific abuse that's been carried out, but the failure of individuals and people in the Church of England to respond appropriately to it. And so this week, that's led then to the resignation of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. It can feel that as we look closer to home and wider afield, there is a crisis of confidence in our leaders. So who can we trust? Is there anyone who cares? Is there anyone that we can turn to? Is there even any hope? Maybe you're here and you call yourself a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for many, many years. And some of the events over this past week have just caused you to question. Or maybe you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You're looking into Christian things And even maybe coming here this evening has been a bit of a pull, because you see the news stories and the events of this past week in the Church of England, and you think, really? Well, into this context, we get the amazing good news of John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And this saying of Jesus isn't, I don't think, a kind of random comment that he makes. Throughout John's gospel, if you know it, Jesus comes out with these I am sayings to help people understand the identity of Jesus and what he has come to do. But I don't think Jesus has kind of looked up to the fields and seen a shepherd with his sheep, or looked at the crowds and thought, here's a nice fluffy picture that I know you'll understand. I think there's something much, much more deeper and significant going on when he calls himself the good shepherd. He's speaking into a subject, he's using a theme that his audience, the Jewish people, will be fully aware of. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 34, God speaks against the leaders of his people. He calls them shepherds and says, you've failed when it comes to leading my people. In fact, you've looked to care for yourself instead of caring for your flock. And so back in Ezekiel 34, God says, my people need a new leader. They need a new shepherd. And God promises that a new shepherd will come, one who will love his flock, one who will care for his flock. There is one coming who all the people are waiting for. And so now, in John chapter 10, in our passage, Jesus says the outrageous. He says that the shepherd that God promised all those years ago, the one that will lead his people, Jesus says, that's me. I'm the good shepherd, and I will be different from all those shepherds that have come before. Here is the king that our world desperately needs. Here is the ruler that we desperately need. Here is the leader, the shepherd, we can trust. What do we learn about this shepherd king? Well, three things we're going to bring out of our verses this evening. We're going to see that we have the shepherd who gives, the shepherd who knows, and the shepherd who includes. So firstly then, the shepherd who gives. Giving's important. We're often told it's better to give than receive. And if you're a parent, you're probably stressing that with your child as we approach Christmas, or maybe you need reminded of it yourself. Here is the shepherd who gives. And yet this isn't any old giving. Do you notice what this shepherd gives in verse 11? This shepherd gives his life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You can't give more than your own life. And I wonder, as it was read, I wonder if you noticed how many times Jesus repeats this. Verse 11, as we've read, the end of verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life. Verse 18, twice, I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. Jesus wants to emphasize, Jesus doesn't want you to miss it. If you want to make a point, you repeat it. If you want to make a point, you repeat it. Jesus repeats it and repeats it and repeats it. He doesn't want us to miss. He is the good shepherd, and he's come to give, to lay down his life. Sadly, we'll all be able to think of leaders who appear out only for themselves. Rather than giving, they want to take. They want to benefit for themselves, of their power, of what they can get hold of. Jesus here is at pains to show that he is the shepherd who will give and give and give. Jesus in verse 12 contrasts the good shepherd with the hired hand. Verse 12, he says, the hired hand's not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. So therefore, when the wolf comes, he abandons the sheep. He runs away. The wolf attacks and the flock scatter. The man runs away because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. He doesn't care for the sheep. He doesn't love the sheep. Jesus cares for his sheep. Jesus loves his sheep. Jesus is absolutely committed to his sheep. So much so that he's clear that it will kill him. He lays down his life. And you notice how this is described in verses 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Jesus chooses to lay down his life. Here's a really important distinction, I think, to notice here when it comes to what Jesus does. It's not so much that Jesus isn't saying, I love my sheep so much that I'm prepared to die for them. Here is a declaration. It will happen. Jesus doesn't look to risk his life for his sheep. He gives his life for his sheep. Look, I'm sure you've all heard of stories, of heartwarming stories, of people risking their lives for the sake of another, to save someone from some kind of life-endangering situation. And yet, risking your life is in the hope of not losing it. This is a bit different. Jesus lays down his life. It's not a risk, there's a certainty to it. You see, at the climax of Jesus' life, it's not some tragic accident that Jesus hoped wouldn't have happened. No, he chooses to give up his life. But why would he choose to do that? You see, we've seen, as we've traveled through Mark's gospel, we've seen how Jesus, he captivates audiences with his teaching, the things that he says. The people flock to hear him. People are amazed at his teaching. But not just with his words, with his power. He's able to do things no other person has been able to do. We've seen the miracles throughout Mark's gospel as he heals the sick, as he calms the storms, as he raises people back to life again. Things that even his enemies did not deny that he was able to do. He had remarkable power. He spoke remarkable words. And with the world at his feet, well then each gospel, and we saw it a few weeks ago in Mark, each gospel makes the point that at the almost height of his ministry, his attention turns to Jerusalem. And his disciples know what that means. They try to convince him that that's not a good idea. He's walking into the mouth of the lion, as it were. But Jesus is in charge. He knows what Jerusalem will bring. And yet he chooses to lay down his life. Not that he's kind of putting his life in danger, but that he's heading to certain death. Back in 1942, a Scottish group of soldiers were being held by the Japanese at a prisoner of war camp. And after a day of forced labor, they were brought in and the equipment was counted in, and it was found that there was one shovel missing. And so the officer lined up the prisoners of war in front of them and called out the person who had stolen the shovel. And no one moved. And so the officer threatened that he would kill every single one of them on the spot if no one owned up. And slowly one man stepped forward. and the officer killed him on the spot. Later on, they did a recount and they found that there wasn't one shovel missing, but they had simply miscounted the number. This man hadn't risked his life. He gave his life for the sake of the other prisoners. Jesus is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. Why? Because he loves his sheep and he cares for them. And because his sheep need it. You see, the whole storyline of the Bible is one that shows that we are created by God for relationship with him. And yet we've turned our backs on him. We've decided to ignore God, have no interest in him, but be interested in me and my own concerns and my interests. And the knock-on effect is not only that we ignore God, but that we fail to love our neighbor. I'm in it for me. The world tells me to look after number one, right? So I look after me. And the Bible says there's consequences. And the Bible says we're in need of rescue. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who can rescue you. And the only way I can rescue you is by laying down my life for you. Jesus is the shepherd who gives. And then secondly, we see Jesus is the shepherd who knows. I imagine we've all been in situations where we're talking to someone who we quickly pick up doesn't know who we are. Not talking about a kind of complete stranger, but someone we have some kind of connection to, and yet they don't know us. Maybe it's a colleague or a director or CEO in the company that you work in, and even though working for the same company, it's clear they don't know who you are. Maybe it's someone else, a teacher at school or college. Maybe it's even here at St. Mary's with the size that we are, that we don't know each other. And yet even when we know someone, there's a kind of we know and a kind of we know. In that there are people that we can know of or know about, that I'm able to tell you about someone. And yet I still don't really know them. And yet we all want to be known, don't we? What we long for is to someone to really know us. That kind of mother-child relationship where the mother knows everything about the child, everything they love and they don't love, what makes them tick and what makes them go. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Here is the shepherd who knows. What kind of knowing is that? Is that a kind of, he knows of me, knows about me? How deep is this knowing? Well, did you see the comparison or the parallel that Jesus makes in verse 15? Have a look down verse 15. Do you notice it? I know my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. You see, there is no deeper, no more intimate relationship than between the Godhead of Father and Son of God. A relationship that has lasted since the beginning of time, beyond the beginning of time. And Jesus says, this is a parallel to how I know my sheep. Wow. Jesus made everyone and everything, and he knows his sheep by name, we're told at the beginning of chapter 10. As you'll know, last Sunday was Remembrance Sunday, and one of the great sadnesses of all battles and wars, but of the two world wars in particular, was the number of soldiers who were killed and were buried without being identified. And in the First World War, Rudyard Kipling, the British poet, proposed, and it was done, that on every single gravestone of every single soldier who was buried without being identified were these words: a soldier of the Great War known unto God. God knows. For every single person here who calls themselves a Christian, Jesus made you. Jesus loves you. Jesus knows you. And as we've seen, Jesus died for you. What a wonderful thought that is. What a comforting reality that is. But what difference can that make to my everyday living? What difference can that make as I go through my days to know that you are made by God, loved by God, known by God? Well, it brings a wonderful dignity, a wonderful value. It brings a confidence, a security that I dare say nothing else can bring. Because you take away this thought that we are made by God and known by God, a thought that brings real dignity and value. You take away that, then I need to build my own dignity. I need to build my own value, my confidence, my security. And so often that's done by what I do, by what I achieve, by who I make myself. And so I can go through life looking to build my value and security. And once I get there, if I get there, well, then I spend every effort trying to maintain it. And it's exhausting. But what about when it goes? Many of you will know that before I worked for a church, I worked for a charity called Christians in Sport. And part of their work was with professional and elite athletes. And a lot of their work more recently has gone into supporting the professional or elite athlete who has retired. Because they noticed a trend that retiring athletes really, really struggled. In fact, I read that 40% of professional footballers go bankrupt within 5 years, which can sound laughable when you hear about how much they earn. And 35% of pro footballers face mental health struggles. And this article said that when you take into account every sport, mental health struggles go up above half. Why is that? Well, nearly all of them report a loss of identity. In fact, the words they used was they went through a period of mourning and grieving. Because what they've done is they've spent their careers, which on average last 8 years, building up their identity and finding their value in it. And sometimes overnight, it comes crashing down. And of course, it won't just be professional sports people, but that will be true potentially for all of us as we get to the point of retirement and everything that we've worked towards and everything that we built and the person who I am, literally overnight, is gone. Or if you're young enough to think retirement is a long, long way away, well, so often for all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we want people to like us. And so I go through every interaction with every human being thinking, do they like me? Do they accept me? And if I think they like me, then my value, my dignity, my confidence goes up. But if they don't, it can collapse in an instant. That is an exhausting way to live. Did you see what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says here? I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep. Jesus says, I know you because I made you and because I love you. Not because of anything you do, and nothing can change that. You see, if I let that enter my head and better enter my heart, then I can go through life and nothing shakes that confidence or security because it's built in something that cannot be shaken. My value comes from knowing that I am made and loved and known by God. There is an amazing freedom that comes with that. And as we think about how we as a church consider safeguarding, to know that every single human being is made by God, that brings a unique dignity and an inherent value to every person made in the image of God, it means there is no better or no worse person. There is no one that we get to ignore, no one that we can turn a blind eye to. It means that every single person can expect to be loved and cared for. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who knows. And then finally, we see the good shepherd who includes. Whilst we live in what seems an increasingly divided world, we have a shepherd who wants to include and unite. Verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. In the context when Jesus was speaking here, he would have been speaking about these others who he wants to include as the Gentiles, those who are not Jewish. In front of him would have been a Jewish audience, and Jesus wants to make clear he didn't come only for the Jewish people, but for all people. We see that in his call at the end of Matthew's gospel when he commands his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. And so from there, the early church was scattered and spread across the nations, taking the gospel with them. And as they stretched across Europe, they crossed the English Channel into the UK. And at some point they reached Basingstoke, and here we are today. Jesus is the good shepherd who includes. Jesus is not the shepherd for some, but for all. He's for all nations. He's for all people. Maybe you can sit here this evening and just think, look, I'm just not good enough. I'm too bad. If you knew some of the things that I'd done, Jesus just wouldn't be interested in me. Jesus is the good shepherd who includes. Or maybe you can sit there thinking, I think I'm too good. I've not got a need for Jesus. Or I'm too clever, I'm too academic for this kind of thing. Jesus says you do have a need. You're in need of rescue. And I'm the good shepherd who includes. Or maybe you can think, I've just not got the right kind of standing in society. People look down at me, ignore me because of whatever job I do, or because I don't have a job, or because of what's happened to me, or because of how I've been treated, or my background, or what's happened in the past. Jesus is the good shepherd who includes. And so as we consider our safeguarding is to be motivated and shaped by our good shepherd, who loves, who knows, who includes, and includes all. We see that throughout the Gospels, don't we? How Jesus spends time with and loves those who are vulnerable, the rejected, the outcasts, to say, I have come for all people. And so as our model and as our shape for safeguarding, so we are called to show a love and a care and a welcome and a safety to all people. We're maybe sadly seeing a crisis in leadership, a crisis of confidence in our leaders. We need a leader who we can turn to. We need a leader who we can trust. We need a leader who cares. We need a leader who loves and who we can have hope in. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd who gives it all, lays down my life. Never take that for granted. I am the good shepherd who knows. I know each of my sheep by name. It gives a wonderful, wonderfully secure identity. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who includes all people from all nations. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for King Jesus. Thank you that he is the good shepherd. Thank you that he is the good shepherd who gives his life. Thank you that he is the good shepherd who knows each one of his sheep. Thank you that he is the good shepherd who includes all people from all nations. Amen.